Salutare tuturor și bine v-am regăsit la IGDLCC. Iar astăzi avem o ediție specială pentru că vom avea un interviu în engleză, o să-l și subtitrăm în măsura în care avem destul timp, cu directorul executiv de la IFA Berlin, Jens Heitecker. O să vorbim cu el despre târg și despre ce se întâmplă aici, pentru că e o ediție foarte diferită față de tot ce am mai văzut până acum, într-un an, așa cum știm cu toții, cu multe provocări, ca să nu zic mai mult. Și o să trec acum în engleză la discuția cu Jens Heitecker. Hello, Mr. Heitecker. Thank you for accepting our request for an interview. I know you're a very busy man, although
I love to be here.
It's not the busiest of IFAs, but it's still quite busy for you.
It's more busy than a normal IFA, I learned. I had more interviews, more media, and really more questions by journalists. Not only about the innovations you usually see here, it's really about how dare you to organize in these times of a pandemic a trade show.
And we explained, how dare you, Mr. Heitecker?
Now, there are many reasons, but there's one most important reason. We were sure that we can organize a safe event. A safe event for all attendees means for the exhibitors, for the media, for our trade visitors, and not at least for our team.
Of course. I've had a vlog yesterday posted about IFA, and I called this thing a social experiment more than a trade show. How do you feel about this?
I like the word experiment because experiment means you try to test the limits.
Yes.
Or you go over the limits.
Of course.
Over the expectations. And that we did indeed. It's the first trade show format as a hybrid trade show in this format we can organize. And we know we have the attention by so many other trade show organizers,
everybody's
by the industry,
you.
Everybody's watching us. How can we organize this? And we learned a lot. We learned we can organize a safe show first, that's okay. But we learned we can achieve more international public, more international media coverage than ever before, but only with the help of a physical event. You need the combination of a hybrid event and an online event. Online only doesn't work.
Online only doesn't work, and that's the key of everything. And you knew that, and you made it possible. And everybody's watching because they are expecting you to fail eventually. Hear about this, I don't know, a rise in cases or anything else. It's not easy to do an offline trading show. Do it physical in times like this, because Germany is also a hotspot for the COVID in this period.
Yeah, yes and no. The most of the regions are on the lowest level ever in Germany, and it's not to compare to other countries if you see the real figures. But you know, the Germans are very worried as long as any of the figures rises a little bit. This is a German way to organize a pandemic.
But it's very different from what you're doing here. Yeah. Everything is very strict, very safe. You get sanitizer everywhere. Everybody's watching everything. Everybody's cleaning everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you're doing it right. When you go outside in Berlin, it's no pandemic. Everybody's so relaxed. I went last night in Charlottenburg. A lot of people sitting in the restaurants and all that. So it seems like it's a disconnect. You're trying to do the right thing, but what's happening?
Now, first of all, indeed, the situation in Berlin is relaxed. The hospitals are empty. We have only, I think, 12 people at the moment at the ICUs in Berlin, as a city of 4 million people. It's a good reason
it's under
for
control.
The people here to be a little bit more relaxed, to feel safer. But when you start to organize an international event like this, with international guests coming from other countries, other regions, other backgrounds of the pandemic. We have so many countries with a much higher level of the pandemic than we have actually here in Germany.
I come from a hotspot.
That we have to save the people from each other. it's a matter of fact in this time of pandemic.
Of course, keep them away, but keep them together.
And at the end, we have the duty to do our utmost that everyone from everywhere who's coming here can feel safe and can travel home safely, hopefully.
That's a challenge, again, because it's the first physical event for many months.
Yeah.
For many months. And the people coming here say, okay, if Messe Berlin is doing it, if it's IFA, if they say it's going to be safe, I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. So it's not just by good name. you need to take actual steps to achieve this. How did you do it?
I think we have a huge network built over the last 10, 15 years globally with people who trust us. We change so many things every year. And sometimes it sounded before the show as a big promise we can't fulfill. And every year we fulfilled our promises. And I think that helped this year as well. In a very unusual situation, we told the people, you have only a few exhibitors. You have only this global press conference with the press conferences. Means we made it clear what the expectation could be only. On the other side, we knew there's a demand by people to coming together, by our people of our network to coming together. Because you were fighting for months alone in your studios, in your country, and this is such an international industry, such an international innovation, that the exchange, even between the media representatives, is essential for the success of your work. And with all this trust of the people who know us, who know how we work, who know how we organize the trade show here, in a German manner in parts, this trust is the basis for everything what we try to organize. And not to disappoint these people this year was also a very important goal organizing this.
That's one thing. But let's get a little more into the specifics and the logistics of it. Mm-hmm. How did you convince Messe Berlin to do it? How did you actually open up the halls, bring in the people to do the catering, do the cleaning, brew the coffee and all that?
I can tell you it was hard work for the whole team. You know, Messe Berlin is one of the top 10 trade show organizers worldwide with around 1,000 people in the staff.
Okay.
So it means we have specialists for nearly everything, even for safety, for health. And of course, we had to bring them together. Of course, we had a lot of people who were internally doubting what will happen here. Is it possible? We had a lot of discussions. And I think you could feel it here. We did mostly one step more than it seems to be necessary to be safe. And on the other side, it's a very important sign for our company, for our staff, that we restart our trade show business. It's now,
why is that
used
important?
To be zero.
Why is it important to do it in 2020? Why not delay? CES just announced a few weeks back, they're not doing 2021.
The problem of organizing a show during the pandemic is not today. The problem is ahead in the future, 4 to 6 months. Because when we start to organize a trade show to talk to exhibitors, they start to prepare their booth presentations, their investment in the presentation, 4 to 6 months before the show. And this is the point, this is the right time where you have to discuss, are you sure, are you safe, can you guarantee that in 6 months you can bring people together? How to do this in this time of the pandemic? Means, on the other side, we have to start the work. We have to start the work now for our trade shows in the springtime.
Okay, so you actually started in the spring?
We started for IFA in the spring, 4 to 6 months ago. In April, we started with the first ideas for this kind of show. But for the next quarter, next year, for the first quarter, for our staff, for all the other shows we organize, it was important that we start now, that we can see how to organize it. Is it possible that we can bring the proof even to other industries? It's possible to organize a show, and we hope that the pandemic is going down or is being finished at least at the end of the last quarter, after the next winter. We hope that it's finished so that we can organize the trade shows, as you know, trade shows.
For the next year, okay. But coming back to the spring, did you have to go to the government and announce we are going to do an offline event? How did that go?
There is a public health authority, it's a doctor, and we talked to her a lot. And she was, by the way, very satisfied with the concept we organized for this.
Okay.
It's a good sign.
So she didn't say no?
Yeah. No, she enforced us to do this. She said, yeah, that's good, it's a good way. That's good how you can organize it, because you can't compare a trade show with a soccer game or a party.
Okay.
We can organize people, we can organize ways, we can count. People are not drunk, like in a party.
Yes.
Are not kissing each other or doing whatever. No, means it's a huge difference. And even this makes an event like a trade show
safer
than any other. That's the one thing. The real problem was that the government restrictions were changing every 2 weeks. And the current rules are valid until end of September. And then we have new rules. So it means in the meantime, from April until now, we had different restrictions and rules.
They actually changed last month again.
Every 2 weeks they change. It's more or less a releasing, step by step, a very careful releasing, but at the end is a change.
Okay.
And that was the main challenge for us in cooperation with the government, to get an assumption what will be the situation in these days.
And so they said you can do it. You're going to do it, but you need to abide by the rules that come
of
up.
Of course. There's no exemption. Zero.
What if the numbers went up?
Then that we told, when we presented this conception to the public, then in the worst case, we have to cancel.
So you are ready to cancel at the last minute?
If we have to guarantee the safety of our attendees, yes.
That's a huge undertaking. And I'm sure it cost you a lot of money. You're not profitable this year.
No, definitely not. But it's a good investment.
It's an investment?
Yep.
Okay. Why is it an investment?
In many directions. First of all, that we were in contact with our network, our exhibitors, the industry. They saw we working, we creative. We try to help them out, first of all. We were with a brand globally covered now, not only with innovative products and whatever you expect from this IFA, even with the brand IFA as a progressive trade show organizer. And by the way, we're the only tech organizer this year doing a kind of physical event, even if it's small, but it has a huge leverage effect in media.
So you're counting on that kind of reaction? Those Germans are crazy, they actually did it.
Like soccer.
Like soccer, yeah.
We started Bundesliga first. It was the first soccer league with a crazy concept. Don't ask. But we started in a safe way.
Did you see the photo with the Germans and the Spanish football players? That says a lot about the Germans and the pandemic.
Yeah. So the good news is we all expect that after the next summer, this pandemic is over.
And we hope.
We talk to our exhibitors and we have a huge number, more than 50% already of the area, of the rented area, of the normal IFA already taken by our exhibitors in the
more
all same size. And we think by end of September we will have a much bigger rate. Means even our exhibitors trust in our prediction. They trust in that we need the size, that the size of IFA last year, the traditional size, the huge size, is the right size for IFA, it's efficient, and they want it back. They want to have it back as well.
Okay.
Of course, we have one small sentence in case of pandemic.
In case of. And then there is in case of.
Yeah, you have to do this. Of course, fair enough. But we all think really it should be over the next summer, latest. And in the hope of this, we agreed with the industry, with the retailers, even with the retailers, that we will come back in the traditional size as the real IFA and not only as a special edition like this year.
There's a huge list of companies that are here every single year. Each hall, I can remember the halls by the exhibitors.
Yeah.
So there's most of them, 98%, are not here. Did you actually talk to them and tell them, look, we are going to do an offline version? Are you in?
Let's talk in different ways. I would dispute 98%. Because
then how much is it?
Usually we have 2,000 exhibitors.
Okay.
150 exhibitors we have here with people presenting
with people, but not booths.
Not booth, but or smaller booths.
Okay.
Smaller presentations. That's the one side.
Okay.
We have, and that's another fact, I don't like it, but it's matter of fact, we have in the city companies, big names, in hotels with own presentations and suites.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like this because it's more efficient to bring
it's
everything
very
together. Yep. And in terms of of health security, health safety, it's safer to be here than in hotels. But, so means IFA is a magnet here, but still for others in the city. And if you see the coverage worldwide, it's higher than in the last year after the first day.
Aha, because everybody wants to have something to talk about.
Definitely, it's good.
It's good, people are talking about. Still, we had a very, very few presentations and very few launches. We just come from the Honor launch.
Yeah.
They presented a whole range of products, but that's very little. Most of the companies have decided not to be here, like Samsung. They usually were in the CityCube. They did a virtual event, mm-hmm. fully virtual. Did you actually talk to these companies and tell them, look, let's do a hybrid, let's do...
Yeah, we did. We did. I can't go into the details in the talks we had with different companies. But for example, with Samsung, we already prepared a booth, we already prepared the briefing, everything was prepared. For some reasons, the highest level decided it's for the big company, it's for a global company, it seems a little bit too dangerous.
Okay.
This is their risk management. I think in the case of Samsung, for example, one of the reasons is the European headquarter is based in London. Mm-hmm. So, and you know the situation, the pandemic situation in the UK is not the best. And if they transfer this feeling of UK people into the continental people, it's not right, you know?
Okay.
It's a much more relaxed situation. But that's the picture they transfer to the headquarters. If you go to the American companies, you know America is hit very hard by the pandemic. Tech companies, there's a travel ban until the end of the first quarter of next year so far.
Really?
For a lot of companies, we heard that.
So most of the tech companies have banned their employees to travel to trade shows like this?
All big companies, every travel trip is canceled. This year it was until end of this year, now it's until the first quarter. So this is a problem
for the companies.
And but you have to see what's the local situation of the pandemic.
Of course. In
the US, especially in the south states of the US, they have a huge problem at the moment still. They're fighting on high, very high levels. And they have still a lot of death toll, they have many, many people in the hospitals.
I just saw on CNN that their model says that by January 1st, they might double the number of deaths.
So, and of course, it's easy to warn. And of course, it's for the media, the worst case is the most interesting warning. I don't hope it for the US and I don't believe that. But it's a worse situation compared especially to Berlin and to Germany.
Okay. So you're optimistic for the next year. Half of the spaces are already, let's say, booked by the companies. But what about the other half? You're optimistic they're going to come for sure next year?
Yeah, usually at this time, we have 30% of the area booked for the next show. It means we are higher than in the traditional, usual rhythm. So we're quite optimistic.
So you think people are going to bounce back to this because they know they actually need a physical space to meet?
They have seen how strong IFA is this year.
Okay.
They have a demand to come together and they will come back in this size.
Still retaining some optimism?
Yep. In terms of the pandemic, I'm very optimistic. There's one risk, one challenge, that's the economic development.
That's also another side of the problem.
No one knows at the moment, is it a V-shape or what will happen to the economy at the moment. In Germany, we see the economy is doing surprisingly well these days.
These days.
Exactly.
The GFK showed us that graph with the economy slumping and then bouncing back by the end of August, going back down and now back up.
We will see. This is unpredictable at these times. But for every trade show, the economic development is a normal challenge, risk, chance. Depends on the situation. Means sometimes in times of crisis, they need much more communication, more promotion, more PR than in times of a boom.
So for proactive companies, but most companies are reactive. They don't go after an opportunity.
I don't agree. I remember well, I was in Japan with my colleague when the tsunami hit this nuclear power station.
Fukushima.
We were in Tokyo. We lived this very strong earthquake. We experienced this. And we came back very early to big companies in Japan. And in Japan, you must imagine, people were down after this. The cities were dark because they hadn't enough power. The business mood was... And of course, they were thinking about, do we cut IFA this year? And we talked to them and told them, hey, there's a very strong competition. If you will not appear, everyone thinks you're hitting so hard that you're out of the market. You have to invest and we will help you to be more successful.
Okay.
It means there are so many companies who are not only reactive, who are active, who understand that in some times of crisis, you have to communicate.
You actually had Panasonic bringing in Technics for the first time ever after a very long time out of the market. So mm-hmm. It was a one of the first times they announced anything here. So that's actually very interesting. So in times like this, the smart way is to come back strong and show you're here and do something about
our
it.
Our recommendation, of course.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's actually cheap. Coming to IFA, it's not.
I have a nice saying from a very old man. I really admire this old man. He's saying, I can't afford to buy cheap.
Okay.
Means it doesn't make sense to choose the cheapest way. You have to find the most profitable, the most efficient way to do things, maybe the most effective way. So it means that's why we feel so prudent. We think IFA has a clear business focus for our exhibitors with a clear revenue stream in terms of PR coverage, in terms of orders by the retailers, and in terms of the reactions by consumers as a market research, let's say.
Yeah, but in the end you have a C-level somewhere that says yes or no.
Exactly.
And you need to appeal to that C-level and go into it.
That's
their P&L and all that.
That's our challenge on the one side. On the other side, take a CEO. How many people can a CEO meet during a show here a day or in his normal day?
Okay.
Normally he has to travel from city to city. Maybe he has 2-3 key contacts, key meetings a day. I think it's less. Here, a CEO can meet in one day 10, 20 key accounts. It is very efficient exactly for the CEO to use this.
So
and imagine what the cost of 1 hour of the CEO is.
Of course. And this is why this kind of event, this is why it's so valuable, even in times like this. But still, you said you're supporting some companies during rough times. How are you going to support the industry for IFA 2021?
Everyone who's agreeing now to be with us next year has a clear advantage.
A clear advantage in terms of price?
For example.
Okay, that's a good thing. Maybe there's companies that hear about it and maybe they want to come in and...
They are all informed.
Okay.
Already informed and we are in talks. And of course, not every company can decide what they do next year.
Of course.
At the moment. They have to clear the budgets and so on. But a lot of companies, as mentioned, already decided. And we are very happy and it's a big sign of trust in us.
You are talking about budgets, and many companies are working on their budgets as we speak. So the way they approach a trade show, or anything for that matter, these days, it's a sign for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
We are still relying on budgets from 2019 mm-hmm. for most of the things we do today. But for the next year, what are you seeing? Give us some insights for how the companies are adapting for the next year.
I think there's no general trend at the moment.
No.
There are so many different discussions in the different companies. There's no general trend. It really depends on in what area of the industry are you working? What's your brand awareness at the end? If you see the newcomers, especially from China, we still have a lot of newcomers, they will be very aggressive. Like companies from Japan were 30 years ago, from Korea were 15 years ago. Means you can't say there's a general trend in the budgets. And what we learned with the trade show, and this is a very interesting thing, sometimes we start with a small booth, a small investment, and then they learned, wow, we should do this, we should do this, we need more space, we expect more retailers, we expect more media, we have to do more. And step by step, despite the planned budget, they invest more.
Okay.
That happens really frequently.
It happens. So now, household is much more valuable than consumer electronic, or is it the other way around? How do you feel about the 2020?
I think if you see the parts of IFA, then the home appliance industry takes 1/3 of the area.
Okay.
It's a big area, but it's not dominating. More interesting is the way you use a home appliance. It's a daily usage. It's automatically given a fridge you have. But with your iPad, you play several times a day. Means what's the more important gadget for you at the moment? What's the more important appliance device for you? The tablet or the fridge? So, but more interesting is we have seen revolutions. We have seen revolutions in the TV. First of all, computers were very first. But then in TV.
Okay.
TV changed from the tube TV to the flat TV, and now a TV is a computer. There are so many processors inside. This is really the media center. And what we see now, we could watch in home appliances, in the past 5 to 10 years before, they changed design. It was more colorful, it was more however you felt. Now we see the digitalization in the appliances, in the home appliances, in a way that's a revolution. Every big home appliances has built in connectivity and is prepared for at least prepared for the next step to integrate AI with one goal, to make it easier to use this appliance.
Okay.
And if you really compare a home appliance 5 years ago and now, you see there is a revolution, and it makes much more sense to have everything here under one roof of this exhibition.
So everything else that comes along needs to be smart, needs to be connected, and AI prepared. Like
at least
in the past, they were internet ready or something like that.
Yeah, when they started with the connected home appliances, they thought it's about that you can steer the appliance, that you can see how long will the washing machine take. That's not the case. The really case is to realize what's inside the washing machine. The real case is to save water if it's not needed, to save powder if it's not needed. It means there are so many new benefits for the consumers, for the environment, we have never seen before, and now it makes sense to invest more.
To do that, you need customers willing to pay, and you need to follow the market. And this is why you're working closely with the GfK, and they're bringing in valuable insights every single year. And this year they came up and said, we've seen a massive shift towards digital consumption, digitalization. 83% of consumer habits have changed. And they say it's not something we were not expecting, it's just happening much faster.
Exactly.
So how is that affecting what you're seeing here? You're talking about smart appliances and also AI appliances. That consumer change, that consumer way of doing things is going to also affect companies coming here, the products coming here, and actually the future of technology.
It's indeed a time of disruption. Disruption means it's a big uncertainty, big unexperienced area for the companies, for the developers, for the engineers. And you will see there are very different ways to solve that. And this is this will be for the next years the most challenging thing or the most interesting thing for journalists. We will see very different ways in digitalization of home appliances, and some will be accepted by consumers and some will be the wrong way.
Gimmicks,
wrong way. It's a real boom time for digitalization of home appliances with many different, very different solutions at the moment, because we are at the early stage. And at the same time, as you mentioned, we speed it up.
Exactly, everything is speeding up, but we don't know exactly what to expect. So I feel like we are still using BlackBerries, and then there's this guy that just launched a touchscreen phone. Ah, come on, I'm just gonna use my BlackBerry still. So 3 years later, no more BlackBerries in businessmen.
Yeah.
Hands.
And it was, at this time, unpredictable.
Yes.
And that's the same situation we have now. We know there is a big change, there's a disruption, speeded up through the pandemic, but we have no clue what the real thing will be. Of course, there are very smart people who can explain everything.
They can explain the past.
But it's like you mentioned with the BlackBerry. At this time, with the BlackBerry in your hand, you couldn't imagine that there would be a better phone.
So I think this is the most important bit of information we got today. The fact that we don't actually know. We see it happening. It's changing much faster than it was because of the pandemic. People are expecting smart AI connectivity and all that. But what's the next big thing? We don't know yet.
And for this, we have investigation by journalists and media.
Okay, this is what we do, yeah.
Exactly.
But not even us, we don't know.
And therefore, it's no better place than a trade show, because you have in one place.
Okay.
In the best case, not this year. But if you have back the real big IFA, you have in one place the most important, more or less everyone in developing new products globally. And that's the situation, and that's the strategy why I believe that IFA will be back next year, or hopefully, depends on the pandemic, but why I think it's so needed by media, by the industry itself.
Of course.
And don't underestimate one function of trade shows. It's a marketplace and it's a competition between innovators. And if we have a normal trade show like IFA, every department, every division in a company has to be coordinated to one date to be ready during the show.
Yes.
Means it's
no delays
for the engineers, for the developers, but even for marketing, sales strategy, whatever, budgets. For all this, you have to be coordinated under a huge time pressure. Of course, they are shouting sometimes on this.
We've seen smart appliances. We've seen smartphones, technologies, all kind of that. But going forward, there's this ramification. The smart homes are connecting to a car, to the solar panels, to the smart grid, to a composter, to, I don't know, the temperature sensor in the lawn. So how do you feel it's the proper way forward for the event to expand? Because now it's about technology and we are touching on some bits. But do you feel there will be, let's say, a new hall dedicated to a new technology, a new industry in the near future?
In the near future. First of all, IFA was in the first step never about technology. It was about real products, real services for consumers, ready to bring it to consumers.
Ready to buy.
It's not about the next technology. Of course, we have one hall IFA Next. We created for innovators to look out, to help the industry to find the next steps in technology or to see the breakthrough technology. I think that's the step even we have to bring as a trade show to serve the current requirements by markets, by retailers, by the industry, by consumers, and at the same time to create a way to bring in innovators.
Let me get more specific. I've seen cars in IFA, I've seen Mazda for the past 2 or 3 years. Are we going to see more electric cars in the future here, maybe?
I think you have seen that we integrated new areas like IFA Next, Shift Mobility and others. And I'm sure you will see in the next years more new areas.
More new areas, okay. And last, there's people also organizing events, watching this, and I'm trying to get some hints, some information from what you're doing. What would be your top advice for the people looking to organize an offline event, a physical event like this in 2020 and beginning of 2021?
Two things. First of all, go in close contact with the health authorities to see what are the requirements. And you will see that requirements in these times of the pandemic will limit your opportunities to organize a show. And then they go to the next step and say, okay, if I have to limit something into my show, what's the core I have to bring out? And what are areas that are not so important in a year of a pandemic? Strengthen the core, and that's possible in times of pandemic, in times of the limit by health requirements.
Okay, Mr. Hardeker, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing so much insight into what you're doing, and I'm really looking forward for the next IFA 2021, possibly much larger than this, with much more halls.
I expect this. No, thank you. Thank you for your interest, and thank you for your trust in our show this year.
And it's actually the only physical event I'm traveling to since January. So that says a lot about the way you are doing things, because it's trustworthy. So people are traveling here.
And I can assure you, we feel honored. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to switch now to Romania to say goodbye to my viewers. Așadar, așa arată informațiile la prima mână de la șeful IFA 2020. Și după cum ați văzut, nu sunt foarte multe cunoscute, dar iată că poți să organizezi un eveniment și în pandemie, dacă respecti regulile, lucrezi cu autoritățile îndeaproape și gândești pe termen lung. Sunt convins că în toată economia, bugetul de anul ăsta va însemna o gaură în veniturile Mese Berlin, dar pe termen lung, cu siguranță este o investiție, exact cum ne-a spus și dânsul. Sper că ți-a fost de folos acest interviu. A fost gândit mai degrabă pentru profesioniști și specialiști care să și ia informații utile din ce au aflat de aici. Dar dacă ești pasionat de internet și tehnologie și te-ai uitat până la final, îți mulțumesc și ai putea să dai și un like, un share și un subscribe dacă nu ai făcut-o deja. Le mulțumim și membrilor noștri care, ca de obicei, văd materialele noastre în avans pentru că ne susțin cu cotizațiile lor lunare. Cam atât. Numai bine!